you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday. It's the 24th of August. Let's see. Nope. There's still next Friday, the last day of August. The 31st will be next Friday. So there's still one more Friday in this month. In fact, I got an email yesterday. Somebody was saying there's still 10 days left of summer. Diane Bowler, who was our featured guest on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, but I guess we still have 9 more days of summer. It's 2018. On the phone lines with me to optimize both of our schedules and to streamline all the work that we're trying to do, I have Pastor Jason Schiffo on the phone with me, as typically is our practice on Fridays, is to have him in the studio and we talk through whether it's the book of Exodus or some other things that God has put on our hearts. But before we have a discussion or an ongoing discussion, I wanted to highlight some of the things that went on this week thus far, Jason, because it was an outstanding week of interviews. So I'll take everyone back to Monday. And that's when we had Diane Bowler in the studio, her and Mary Ann, and we had Diane read her story. Every season has a story, and summer was her featured story, a lot of memories and how much she's enjoyed the summer. So Diane was our special guest on Monday. Then Tuesday, Mary Ann continues her reading through her book, Memories of an African Son, and her chapter titled, I think it was number 12, was on villages. And how oftentimes you kind of think of those villages in Africa, you know, they're primitive people, kind of the backwoods type, you know, maybe you would say, sadly, ignorant or not up to date or not very smart, but really not the case. In their culture, very attuned to what's going on, very knowledgeable. They might not have all the advancements in technology and some of the understanding we have with cutting-edge science and all the things that through college and some of the things that we experience. But not to be confused as being ignorant just because they live in a village out way in the countryside. So it was a really good, convicting reading how we can oftentimes stereotype or label people and wrongly do it. So that was on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, got a lot of good feedback. Jim Daly was our special guest. He's the president of Focus on the Family. And Greta came into the studio. You know Greta, a ball of fire, passionate about saving lives and preserving the unborn and just reaching into women's lives and loving on them, loving them towards eternity, sharing the love of Jesus. But I have to say about Jim Daly, the real deal, on air, off air. In fact, I was a little self-conscious because usually you get somebody like Jim Daly or Erwin Lutzer or, you know, somebody that has a full schedule. They usually say, I can commit to 5 or 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes, but I have a lot of things going on. He stayed on the whole 23 minutes. And in fact, I was looking at the time and I wrote Greta a note. I said, you know, I'm sure he's got to go. So we'll close out. And so basically we said, hey, Jim, thank you so much for being with us. You know, we're going to give our phone number and how people can sign up for the Pregnancy Resource Center banquet and so forth. So thanks. So then for about 2 or 3 more minutes, Greta and I continued to talk and gave the phone number, website address and everything. And as I'm getting ready to hang up, I'm like, hello? And Jim Daly's still on. Oh, yeah, I didn't get to say goodbye to you guys. And I stayed on the line. I mean, you know, like on the phone line. So he just sat there and listened to us and we were talking. And so he said some real nice things. I almost wish I was still taping because he just, what I mean by the real deal, just no pretense. He just was honoring Greta and honored our time and was enthusiastic and I don't know if you heard it, but somewhat of your story where his mom could have made some choices and ended the pregnancy and how his stepdad told her, no, keep the child, and his hard upbringing, but all things are possible with God, and just down to earth and approachable and kind and not full of himself by any measure that I could detect. It's just easy going. I'm excited to come, Greta. You're doing a great work. And I thought, wow, this guy, he's special. So that was Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends, and all these programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org. But a very full week for me, just fantastic interviews. I felt everyone really honored God, shared a message, and I believe good storytelling or illustrations or examples to fortify us all on our faith journey. And then yesterday, the conversational English class was just off the charts again. I think we had 9 more brand new students, and we had 9 or so more last week. So all the instructors, all the teachers had different students and a bunch of enthusiastic learners. Yesterday we worked on commonly used hard words like opulent and other ones that we don't often say, but when they're said, you kind of want to know what they mean. And so we gave them examples of how to use the words and just walked them through and storytelling and sharing. So just a great new group of international students that are wanting to learn and know the American culture. And a lot are now moving in. So the University of Illinois, the streets are starting to fill up. In fact, on I think it was Wednesday night, I was at the Walmart on North Prospect, and I was telling Holly, gosh, we could have given out New Testaments to all these internationals. They were just walking in the store, and you know how it is back to school time, just emptying out the shelves. It was like that. I'm sure the managers were like, ching, 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 loading up the carts, and many had their parents with them, and it reminded me of the old Jewel days here when the students returned, and it was like they fill up the carts, they buy all sorts of good things, and a lot of international shopping. And I was thinking, gosh, Holly, you could add a little witnessing opportunity or handed out tracts or encourage them to come to the English conversation class, because it was just a lot of internationals. So 'tis the season for students to start back up at U of I, and many of the grade schools and high schools locally have already got a full weekend. But, yeah, good times.
Nice.
All right, I've worked myself up into a frenzy. How can you bring me down, introduce me to a biblical concept or a God sighting, or help navigate me through this day?
Well, I'll tell you about a conversation that I had earlier this week, and it kind of parlays with what you're talking about in your English conversation class. Earlier this week on Tuesday, I had an opportunity to go and spend the better part of a day with a bunch of pastors from the Church of God. And the Church of God is beginning to explore what it means to make disciples like Jesus, what it means to spend time with people and walk alongside them in such a way that your time with them looks like the ministry of Jesus. And so I had never met any folks from the Church of God, so it was kind of my first moment with them, and it was really great. Some really wonderful people. I made friends with a guy who's here locally in town in Champaign. I think we're going to get together, and we're going to form a disciple-making group. But I had 3 ladies at the table that I was at, and we were talking about John 3:22. And I think, Mark, we've talked about John 3:22, but I wanted to come back to it because I was so blessed as I was wrestling this piece of text with these ladies and trying to help them understand. One woman runs a prayer ministry, and she wanted to understand how she could disciple people to become prayer warriors. You know, because she said it's really hard to get people to be a part of a prayer ministry. It seems like everybody says they're praying, but nobody wants to be a part of the prayer ministry. And so we talked about that. We went to John 3:22, and John 3:22 is an interesting passage. It says in John 3:22. And Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem, and they went into the Judean countryside. And Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. It's really an interesting passage, because the first question I would ask is, what is Jerusalem? You know, when we think about Jerusalem, and I'm thinking, too, that, I mean, it's not that long until we leave and go to Jerusalem formally, right? What are we at, 40 days?
Yeah, in fact, tonight we're having our orientation gathering, and I could make a quick little announcement. One of our gals had surgery and won't be able to go on the trip, and so we're looking for a female roommate for one of our pilgrims that's going. And if there was a couple or 2 other friends, we could get 3 more into our group, but tonight's a special gathering at 6:30. We're going to cover specifics about the trip, but we have a great group going, but we are looking for a lady roommate, for a fine gal that would even up the group. And then we could, if somebody is passionate about going, we could fit them in. But that's tonight. So if you're here in the morning edition of the Mark and Friends, you could call in and I'll give you all the specifics. But yeah, so it's closing in on 40 days.
Yeah, 40 days. That's a biblical number, by the way. But it says here in this passage that Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and they went to the Judean countryside. Mm-hmm. And so first question we can ask ourselves is, what is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the center of worship. It's the center of religion in Israel. The temple of God is there. The worship of God is there. The sacrifices and the feasts are held there. This is what I would say. Jerusalem is church.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem is where everybody comes to do church. So then the question you've got to ask yourself is, why does Jesus need to take these guys out of the church to teach them something? Because it's what he says. It says he takes them to Judean countryside to spend some time with them. And there in the Judean countryside, they're baptizing. Now, it's not Jesus just who's baptizing, but the disciples are baptizing. And there's an interesting word that happens in here. It's the Greek word called diatribu. Diatribu. And diatribu means to rub through or to rub off. So when it says that Jesus went out and he spent some time with these guys, he was rubbing off on them. He was rubbing through them. You know, I think about when we spend a lot of time with somebody, we begin to sound like them. We begin to use their phraseology. We begin to do some of the things that they did. People who have been married for a long time tend to act like their spouses. And so Jesus here was spending time with them. He was rubbing off on them. And I have to think that after they came back from this time with Jesus, they looked more like Jesus than they did when they left.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to go back to my original question. Why did he have to take them out of church in order to do this? And it was really interesting. When we were sitting around the tables, there was an older gentleman who said, he said, well, when everybody goes to church, they all know how to act. They act like church folks.
Hmm.
He said, but when you get out in the countryside, it's when they cuss. And isn't that the truth? When you're at church, people have been around church for any amount of time. They know how to act. They know what to do. Judaism has a very set way of sacrifices and how you would approach, even how you would approach the temple. When we go to Israel and we go to the southern steps, you see those longer and shorter steps because you knew the etiquette was to proceed or to process very slowly and reverently towards the temple. When you were in Jerusalem, you knew how you needed to act in terms of you and the temple. Just like when we go to church, we know how we need to act in terms of us and the church. Been around church long enough, you know what to do and what not to do. And so it's interesting that Jesus takes his disciples out of this atmosphere, out to the countryside, so that he can rub off on them. Because I think that while they're in Jerusalem, they're still even ever subtly affected by what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus takes them out into the countryside. He takes them out there to where the common folk live. He takes them out there to where the plain folk live. He takes them out to where real life is happening. You know what I love about this passage, Mark, is that it makes me think that Jesus himself said, I want to leave what is considered church, and I want to go with you out into real life so you can see what it means to follow me in real life. You know, the day-to-day kind of struggle out in the countryside. That's the question as a pastor I get from people most often is they say, listen, I get it. I know how I'm supposed to act, but what about in my real life? And I go, wait, what do you mean your real life? Well, you know, when I'm not at church.
Yeah.
I go, oh, you mean when, like, the problems happen and they're not singing worship songs, it's communion and not giving the offering, not doing all those kinds of things. You mean like when you're trying to deal with the day-to-day, stub your toe and you want to cuss or you turn on the computer and you fighting going to this website or that website or whatever, you know, treating your wife with honor and respect, your husband with honor and respect, or treating your children, not exasperating them. Gosh, I struggle with that one sometimes.
Hmm.
Where real life happens, where we really have to follow Jesus, where, you know, verses like, you know, he's the peace that passes understanding. We go, wait a second, but I don't feel very peaceful today. You know, and so we look at all these things and we go, what does it mean to follow Jesus in real life? And I think Jesus took these guys out into the countryside so that he could show them, he could say, let's get out where real life's happening.
Yeah, I'm thinking
let's get away from all the churchy stuff. What were you going to say, Mark?
Yeah, and I'm thinking putting the new wine in the new wineskins. He was trying to get them out of the trappings of that religiosity, if you will. You know, what's going on in Jerusalem, all the religious things. And like you're saying, getting them into the real world, building them up to live a Christ-fragranced, filled life in real life in the country.
Yeah, well, just think about it. I mean, we gather together in church, and I love church. I've given my life to church. I believe it's the bride of Christ. It can be when it's done with God first, with God as the object of our affection, I think there's nothing more beautiful than a body of believers that gets together and calls themselves church. But I also do think that I heard this quote this week, and it really convicted me. It said, too often, church is the place we go to be alone together.
Hmm.
Because there are places where people go, and they stand there, and they sing, and they try their darndest to worship, and they try their darndest to be a part of the body of Christ. But I know, because I've talked to some of these people, they feel alone, even though they're in the midst of people there.
Mm-hmm.
And because at the end of the day, Mark, what do people want more than anything? They want to know that they value, they want to know that they matter. And the way that we tell people that they value and that they matter is when we spend time with them.
Yeah.
Just think about when these disciples were in the Judean countryside, how amazing it must have felt, because here they have Jesus to themselves. Hmm. Here they Jesus is spending time with them, deep kind of meaningful time with them. They're baptizing, and he's probably sharing all kinds of amazing teaching and wisdom from the heart of God. And they have Jesus' full attention, and he has theirs.
Hmm.
And that's what people want more than anything. They want time with you. You know, I think that probably for these international students, they probably so appreciate the time that's being spent with them during the English conversation class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they could probably get those, you know, English on tapes or take some kind of English thing maybe at the university. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I have to believe, and I've been there before and seen the English conversations classes in action.
Yeah.
And it's the relationships that drive it. It's the people laughing around the table and learning around the table and time that they're spending with one another together. And I do have to believe also, and you can speak to this better, but that relationships are formed there that last beyond the time of the class.
Yeah.
And so time with is so important. And Jesus models that for us, doesn't he? He says, look, we've got to get out of Jerusalem. And let's go to the countryside, and I want to spend some time with you guys. I mean, just think of how they must have felt that moment. And then something that would seem to be only for the most religious of religious folks, the baptizing. Jesus says, hey, why don't you guys join me? Why don't you guys give it a shot? Come on. You know, you can do it. And this is an amazing moment, the same moment when we spend time with somebody and you say you can do it. Maybe you're in the English conversation class and you're saying, hey, I know this concept of this holiday or this money or whatever it is difficult, but I know you can do it. We'll just keep working on it.
Hmm.
And it's that kind of time spent with that really makes people go, wow, they care. I'm known. I matter. And listen, we matter to one another in very unique ways. But we matter to God in a way that none of us can even fathom. And so that God called these men out and he took them out of the countryside. He spent time with them. God made flesh, spent time with them. Is an amazing thing. And listen, God doesn't want us to go to church and be together, but to be alone. God wants us to come together and to be bound up as a body of believers with one heart. I think all the time, one of my prayers recently, Mark, has been, I read John chapter 17, and Jesus prays in John chapter 17. He says, Lord, I pray that they would be one just as you and I and the Spirit are one. And I said, Lord, how do we as a church be the answer to Jesus' prayer?
Hmm.
Jesus prays that we would be one in such a way that no one would feel alone or no one would feel lost or no one would feel left out. How do we become the answer to the prayer that the Bible has just a scant few prayers prayed by Jesus. And this is one of the prayers that he prayed. And our unity by the power of his Spirit is the answer to his prayer. And what is his prayer? That we would spend time with one another in such a way that we would be one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That we would be one. And in a world that is so fractured and so full of all kinds of division, wouldn't it be so refreshing if we could just, I mean, what's the old phrase? Can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
You know, and so it just, when you talked about the English conversation classes, and then we're going to be in Jerusalem soon and all that, it made me think about this verse. It made me think about how amazing this is and how amazing it is when we live it out now in meaningful ways that really impact and affect other people's lives.
You know, I've read this passage many times, and I've never really taken to heart what you're saying where Jesus at this point is prominent, you know, crowds are forming around him, and basically said, hey, I want to be alone with you guys. And we could all picture who's maybe our favorite hero or somebody we really look up to. And if that person said, hey, let's spend some time together, some quality time together where I can just be with you and talk with you, we'd all be like, wow. And that's kind of what the disciples got to have for that period of time. Jesus's undivided attention, this guy that was becoming the rock star. You know, sometimes we kid about that. People were seeking after him, following him. He had this great reputation. He said, no, you guys are more important. Let's go out to the countryside. Let's spend some intimate, some time together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder, too, as you know, as we're talking about this, as those of you who are out there listening right now, as you spend time with Jesus, my hope would be as you, when you got up this morning, before you even are listening to this radio program, you cracked open that Bible and you spent some time with God in his word and you heard from his spirit. But I wonder if after spending time with Jesus, you might take a moment and pray and ask God who he wants you to spend time with.
Yeah.
After you spend time with Jesus, who is it that you can go out and you can spend some time with?
Right.
Who you can say with the greatest currency you have, your time, say, you matter.
Yeah.
I love you. I want to encourage you. I'm here for you. And who is that who you can do that for? And so I just want to challenge whoever's in earshot. Maybe you're listening to the rebroadcast and it's 7:23 at night. Maybe you just might pray and say before you go to bed, Lord, who do you want me to spend time with? And I guarantee you, pray that prayer enough, God is going to bring some people into your life or show you some people who you need to spend some time with.
Mm.
And what a great thing to give your life to, and that is to others, and give your life to being the answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17.
Amen. Well, hey, it's time to go. I got to go find somebody to spend some time with. But first, you're right. Spend it with Jesus. Spend it with God. Pray up where he would lead you, and he'll provide that divine appointment, I'm sure.
Yes,
all right. Got to go. Spend some more time with God and then pray up who he wants me to be with, whether it's today or tomorrow or this weekend or maybe a friend that he'd put on our heart to bring to church. Amen to that one. Right, brother?
Amen.
Amen. All right, everyone. Time to go. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.